Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. My co-host, Dr. Mary, is with us. Good to see you, Mary.
You too.
And just saw you. I don't know. you helped blow dry my hair this morning, which I appreciate. we started the day off silly. We'll continue to be silly as we go through, but we have with us a guest that, I saw Dr. Mateo in Canada when we were up in Calgary at one point, but he graduated in 2019 from Life Chiropractic College West. He is a self-proclaimed neuro geek. Brilliant man. Graduated, like I said, in 19, grew up kind of in the Calgary area, especially in his formative years, went back to Calgary after he graduated, practices now for the last 3 years. He was associating for a few years with his husband, Dr. Sean, and they are in a practice together, which we'll talk about in a bit. It's so cool. They integrate Blair, upper cervical, with Thompson and a few other things, just doing really amazing things. But he is just a little bit about Dr. Mateo. He's very much into concussions. It's kind of one of his babies, so to speak, in chiropractic, of what he works with and what he teaches. But also, you were doing gamification before gamification was even cool, and now gamification is everything. While a student, he put together a game for spinal tracks that students were playing to learn the track, stuff like that. Anatomy coloring books, and now he's on his second anatomy coloring book. He's a very talented, very passionate, and a phenomenal chiropractor. We have with us Dr. Mateo de Lima Thiel. So, Dr. Mateo, I hope that was a good introduction. There's a lot I could go into, but man, we just got to dive in and start talking to you about some stuff. So
super love to. Well, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. I've been looking forward to this. I know it had to get canceled at one point, but this is phenomenal. So, Mayor, I can start. You can start. I've got to go.
Well, I want to start at the beginning because I don't know the answer to this question, which is, how did chiropractic find you? Like, how did you end up at Life West?
Oh, really good question. So I was a personal trainer. I came out of like an arts degree, didn't know what I was doing. I was a film major, got into fitness, always was interested into health, was personal training. And I found that if certain muscle patterns weren't working how I wanted them to, I would send them to a chiropractor and boom, it was better. People's glutes who weren't doing glute things, send them to a chiropractor, better. And it was something that just more and more I wanted to be like, oh, I want to be that person. I don't want to be the person that's sending it to them. I want to be this person that's receiving the people. And my husband was kind of interested trying to figure out like, oh, if that was going to happen, what would he do? Would he do physio? Would he do things? And Canada had a little mini recession, and being in the fitness industry, lost some contracts and he lost a few of his. And we're like, let's go back to school. How do you feel about chiropractic? And he was like, that sounds great. And we did all of our little prerequisites, got ready to go, and shuttled ourselves down to California.
Wow.
That is so cool. And I guess my question for you is this, because, as you're, going on this path and you were in the fitness and obviously you came out of the arts, and I'm sure that's where all the coloring and all the and the cool things, the gamifications and the stuff that you've been doing. But when you got here, at least when you got to school or during school, right? You fell in love with neurology, it seems like. I mean, was it just a perfect fit for you? Because, I know this, I can tell our viewers that you could probably step in here and be teaching neuro classes, And was it something that you just fell in love with or just kind of came easy?
Not the first time I heard neurology. So we took a anatomy class before we came to school. Not gonna lie, there was a little bit of crying, a little bit of emotional eating, a little bit of things, but you had to hear it once. And the more that the words became more familiar, the more that the structures became familiar, there was just a logic that made a lot of sense to me. Like, this is how paths move. This is how stuff communicates. This is it just makes sense. So it's so long as you know where things are going to and what that thing does. Neat. And it's just your master communication system. And I think as a chiropractor, if you don't understand neurology, how can you understand things like subluxation really well, or disafferentation, or however that whatever you believe in?
Oh, well. And so let's jump into concussion, because like it sounds like that's like one of your passions right now, right?
Oh,
And
yeah.
yeah. Talk to us. Like, one of the things you're doing, I want our audience to know, is you're writing a book right now on concussion for the layperson, right? Not for the doctor. So share with us about that a little bit, and then let's get into get into concussion.
Right. So let's talk about the book briefly. There's a lot of information out there from really smart people who don't know how to talk to regular humans. And I feel like that's a problem with a lot of health professionals, is listen to how smart I am. And the person's like, cool, don't know what that means. And while there is some helpful information, there's a lot of guiding, and especially with like a lot of the recommendations, they might be very different than how that person's been eating, or how they've been interacting with their technology, or how they work on a regular basis. And being able to build a plan that moves somebody from maybe acutely concussed, or maybe they have persistent symptoms, and how do you guide them back to wherever they were before? A big part of it, and how chiropractic plays into it, is concussion, whiplash management. Every concussion will have a whiplash, and being able to manage that really well makes a huge difference on symptoms and people's recovery.
So where are you in the book? Are you halfway through with it? Are you?
I'm finishing my third edit, and then I have to go lay in all the research footnotes and that fun stuff, the not fun part of writing a book.
You're talking about the back, one eighth of the pages, right? Where you're she that
What it
everyone
is.
likes to do this one and see all the different
That's
stuff and
right.
not
No.
necessarily go look at
But to validate the words that
yeah,
you said, you need to do
exactly.
that. And it
So I
just.
have a question about that. So I think that's an awesome idea for a book because there's a lot more, well, I don't know if there's more concussions nowadays or there's just more awareness about it, but I think that's really important for parents. I'm guessing that's who your audience is going to be buying this book.
I mean, yes is the short answer, because I feel like parents have a team that they can assemble around a concussed person. And having something that's helping guiding you, making sure, do you have all the pieces in the equation? Are you plateauing? Why are you plateauing? Who's the next person in that equation that needs to help that person? And I feel like moms are very interested in something like that, but it is really for anyone. Because like even when I was young, it was, I wish I had something to help me through a concussion. I didn't even know I had a concussion, but did it affect me? Yeah. Did it affect me for a long time? Yeah. And I needed something like that.
And when you talk about it, and I love what you said, because there's always been a saying in chiropractic that you can't have a head injury without having a neck injury, right? And you can't have a neck injury without having a head injury, right? Because they're just synonymous, right? I mean, something happens to your neck, it's usually going to happen to your head. I guess you can get hit certainly in the head and not maybe not affect the neck, but vice versa, not so much, right? And you said whiplash is definitely going to affect the neck, right?
Every concussion will have a whiplash. Whiplash takes about 5 G's. A sneeze is 3 G's. So a little bit more whiplash. And the symptoms with whiplash is really long. And there's not a ton of symptoms that are unique to co concussion that whiplash doesn't have. There's no symptoms unique to whiplash that concussion doesn't have. So like it's there's a whole bunch there. A concussion takes about 70 to 120 G's of force. So it's a ton of force that needs to happen. So a lot of people are coming to the conclusion that a lot of the symptomatic part has to do with what's coming with the neck. Yes, there's parts to do with the brain and getting that coordinating with the heart, making sure eyes are working coordinated together. and making sure you're bringing down inflammation. But even if you're not a concussion manager as a chiropractor, being able to manage whiplash and being a part of the equation, a part of a health team to help bring that person back to whatever their normal was, is really important.
Right. And talk about management, you know, like, because I think that's important for everybody to understand, right? Because, you know, it's one thing that, like you said before, it's one thing to have all the information, but not be able to communicate it. That's, you know, there's a disconnect there, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, at least dealing with patients. And then there's another piece around having the pieces, but not knowing how to manage it, right? Because mm-hmm. it's a big piece around it. You know, the other thing too, I think beforehand you had said that you're doing I'm reading it right here, the CCMI, right? It's a concussion management, right? Talk to us about it.
Yeah, CCMI, Dr. Cameron Marshall, he is probably one of the most researched doctors on concussion. And he wanted to create a gold standard. He's out of Canada. I would highly recommend his course. It's a ton of really great information, and it looks at lots of different aspects that need to be managed. Things like eating, because as you know, some things are inflammatory. And when we have a leaky gut, every time the following a concussion, you'll have a leaky gut. That affects your blood-brain barrier. So if you can't heal your gut, you can't bring down inflammation in your brain. Another part is how eyes coordinate together. It's not necessarily how well you can focus, but even when you're moving side to side, how smooth is that happening? Is there choppy parts? There's different ways to assess the eyes that are going to be important. There's a part of your vestibular system that should be looked at, making sure that your left and right ear are balancing you out really good. And then how your brain and heart are working together. How do you get back to exercise? Because a lot of these people are athletes and they want to know, am I ready for another concussion or is it going to make me worse? Mm-hmm. So those are the tip of the iceberg things, but making sure that we're managing all of those are really important with whiplash.
Right. So it's not just, you know, and I get it. It's just not just correcting the subluxation and making sure that, you know, neurologically things are functioning, but how are we supporting it at home or in our daily lives, right?
All these other things can be stress. And as you know, stress causes subluxation.
Right.
And if we can bring down that stress, it helps them hold their, helps remove and keep subluxation away.
Yeah.
So who do you feel is like an integral part besides the chiropractor on the management team? Like who are some of the other healthcare providers?
That's a really great question. As you know, chiropractic scope can be really big, and it really depends on how much of a team, part of a team do you want to be? Do you want to be the complete overseer of somebody's concussion, or do you want another set of eyes on there? Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, they don't want to do the vision work. It takes a lot of time, and it's very tedious, and that's fine. As a doctor, you can remove subluxation and send them to get a vision therapy with somebody else. So sometimes occupational therapists do that, physiotherapists. You can technically train a technician to do it. Is it ideal? No. Is it billable? People don't like that. But there's people that way. For me, I give pretty reasonable food recommendations. But for some people, that's tough. And for some people, their gut was already not in a great place before the concussion. And they might need somebody that's going to handhold them a little bit better and know a little bit more about balancing out hormones, helping heal their leaky gut, things like that. So I really like a nutritionist that's experienced that way. Some people need lymphatic drainage. If their lymph system isn't moving really good, it's not working for them. It's working against them. So lots of people, lots of opportunities, lots of referral opportunities. And I don't think a lot of these people can handle whiplash as well as chiropractic can.
Right. Especially structurally, right? I mean, I don't think anybody can, to be honest with you. Right. I don't think anyone does, you know, except for chiropractic, you know, and it's so incredible. Talk about some cases. Like what have been some of the, you know, I guess the funner cases or difficult cases, you know, because I know that you're the type of person, how I know you, Dr. Mateo, is, hey, if it's difficult, I want it, you know, bring it to me, right? So so share some of the things that you've seen and what's been around.
I think the hardest thing is getting somebody that has had a concussion for a long time, that persistent concussion syndrome or symptoms, and it creates a cascade in their life, and it really winds up their system and it's hard to get out of it. Being able to see somebody really earlier in care, it's just, you can give them a good course of correction, guide them, quick solutions, but it's these people with really lingering symptoms. And then because a concussion doesn't mean they've just hurt their head. They could have hurt other things in their body. So their core goes out to lunch and their pelvic floor falls apart. Now they have a foot and a half hernia. They can't lay prone. They can't do these things. And it's where do you start with that? How do you build somebody up? Because, like, with something like that, they can't just eat more fiber. So it's putting people back together. What's I really love Dr. Schulte, and he always says, what's the socks and shoes of things? You can put them in either order, but what order works better? And it's what's your highest priority things? How do you get that to stabilize, and how do you move on? And how do you just triage certain things and make that important later? But what needs to happen right now? Because people don't have the bandwidth to just be with you 24/7 and like have you observe them and feed them. That's not possible. So, complexity is just how hard does somebody want to work for it? And are they helping you get back to their normal?
I mean, and I would think a lot of it obviously is you're giving people things to do at home. Like, so then there's that whole, if they're following through, you probably see better results. And if they're not, right?
There's lots of layers to that, and
Yeah.
self-work is really important. And really what it comes down to, and I'm sure everybody's heard it, but what is their goals? What do they need to do? And if they know to get to that goal, they have to do that. There's that bigger heart feel to it. But if it's just this is the thing that I have to do, nah, good luck doing it.
Yeah.
So identifying what is their normal and why is that important to them is at the crux of anybody's healing journey.
Right. And the other thing I'm hearing is that it's, because of the complexity, we're talking about the nervous system, obviously, brain and nervous system. It's like, like you said, a concussion can lead to a lot of cascade effects that, it's almost like a kinetic chain, right? That can kind of just go in
Yeah.
all different directions. And we have to be aware enough, and that thank God that chiropractors, especially, as you were trained, always looking to the nervous system, right? Always looking to see what's going on in the nervous system, being the central system, because people can be chasing symptoms, and yet, you're not looking for symptoms, you're looking for effects from the, and it's a difference. Some people say, well, a symptom is an effect. It doesn't mean it's an effect. It could be an ancillary, it could be oh gosh, what is it? A clue of, what's leading us to where we need to go to, right? And be able to see it. And it's boy, you break it down really well in that, all these things can happen, and people would never attribute their, a woman would never attribute, their pelvic floor imbalance coming from something in the brain, right? From a concussion.
Injury, trauma, all the things. Maybe it was lingering from before. There's a whole bunch of things. So I think one of the most powerful things we can do as chiropractors is build a really great referral team and help people the best we can. Because I'm not going to do pelvic floor for somebody. I'm not going to do vision therapy. I'm not going to babysit somebody on their nutrition. I'm going to be a chiropractor and make sure they get everybody else that they need to.
When you were looking for other providers, I'm sure like that had to be pretty hard to find providers that do not the work that you do, but like that have the same philosophy and kind of are going down the same journey you're going. Did it take a while to find those people?
Yes is the short answer.
Yeah.
It's as everybody has their own feels about healthcare and what people need. And what it really comes down to is if I'm educating my patient really good to the best that I can do, and when they go speak to the next person in their line, they're going to be able to really stick up for what I'm doing and how I'm helping them on their team. And they're going to educate whoever they're talking to even better and want them to talk to me. So it's education's important. Sometimes I forget that. It's really easy to just get like into the chiropractic zone and I'm chiropracting. No, education's important. I've always loved the saying, I can't remember where I heard this, but everybody's one foot in your practice and one foot out, and education keeps moving them in. And
I like
I
that.
sometimes need to refresh myself on that. And it's important because it's how you are representing yourself elsewhere.
And a follow-up question on that. Do you have any people that you're working on that have had a concussion where you're not the primary doctor?
Yes. It's interesting, and it depends. It depends how did they find me? Are they finding it because they're looking for more solutions, or were they referred to me, or is it a part of like a motor vehicle accident insurance thing?
That's a whole different animal.
It is, but it's an important animal, and people are limited by who's their primary and things like that. It's different everywhere in the world. It's an opportunity to meet new professionals. It's an opportunity to say why their stuff works, but maybe there was a missing part in their equation to make it work better. And just make sure that we're not poo-pooing where the person came from that finds you, because they're doing the best that they can, and maybe they have the scope and this thing that they're good at, but it's not everything. And that's okay too.
Yeah, and what I'm hearing is that as a team, because that you talked about at the very beginning, right? Getting a good team, right? As a team, you got to be a team member, right? And team members know their roles, they know what they do, and they should know what other people do. They don't have to know exactly what they do, but they know what they do on a broad scope, and everybody works together to get to the end result, you know? I've got a question, and listen, I mean, obviously, from where you came from, being very, very right-brained, you were in arts and video and all the things that you did in your undergraduate world, right? And then you kind of brought it over to the left brain, and all the sciences and all the stuff. And that's what I love, Dr. Mateo. That's what I love, and I've always loved about you. You bring this together, into this nice little brain I'm forming right here in my hands. But you bring this together to bring that the fun, the artistics and all that stuff, right, into the science, right? So my question to you, to hit both sides of those hemispheres, is: I'm a multi-billionaire. You just did something for my kids that just totally changed their lives, that had concussion, whatever. And I'm going to say to you, what do you want? Share with me the ideal thing, because we're going to build this. Tell me what it is. Is it a 20,000 square foot building, and who would be in it? And what would that whole team look like?
You're opening Pandora's box with this
I
question.
know I am. I know, but listen, it could change,
No. Oh, I have a plan and a budget already. I would change that.
Well, now you got billions, so tell me.
I can literally see you go into your left brain on that one.
I need $6.7 million to change the face of healthcare and change chiropractic with a software that's designed for alternative research and making it accessible to alternative medicine. Because one of the problems is especially on the evidence-based side, is, well, you have no evidence. It's like, well, we do, but it's like, no, but you don't have the kind that I want. It's like, because it's expensive and I have two hands. And to make it so clinics can opt into a headache research, and these are the parameters that you need to do it, or working with TMJ and getting us the numbers and the figures and removing the paywall that is research, because we have the ability to do this in all of our clinics, but we have to make it accessible. And that's one of my biggest problems with research, is it's behind a paywall. So anything that's really valid for healthcare, are they going to pay for it? Maybe. So there's opportunities within electronic health records to build research, to better communicate, and better help patients. And I would love to gamify the health experience for a patient. $6.7 million. That's my first thing. Then I have seven other steps, but whatever. That's okay. That's a good start, right?
It is a great start. It's a great start. And the team, like, what would you have? Like, between, because remember you were talking about you can either bring them in, the doctor can do the work, or you can refer them out. So if you had, like, just the dream of this, and you had the salary, you had all the money to be able to just do it, what would be the
Over the
key
hills.
components that you'd want?
So right now I have a majority of my team. I just hired on a really brilliant physiotherapist that just does all the things I don't want to do with the concussion management. She does great. I have a couple massage humans. One of them does lymphatic drainage, and she's going to take some cranial sacral. I really want some cranial sacral on my team, because it takes time to move some of the skull bones, and I just I'd rather it take somebody who can take time with that do that. I would love a nutritionist. I have several that I refer out to. Does it need to be done online? It doesn't matter. So would that be in my clinic? If it made sense and it was easy for people, sure. And then outside that, I probably have somebody who specializes a little bit more in TMJ and just making sure that jaw is doing really great. I probably continue some education in some like endocranial and just learn how to move the sphenoid a little bit more. But that's essentially like the Coles notes on what I want.
Cool. And how about the visual? Because I know that, I know like the functional neurologist, I mean, one of the main things that they look at least when they do an assessment, is they look at the visual patterns. I have that down myself. What would you want to have something around that? Is that like a huge thing on the
It's a good potential. And like right now, my physiotherapist does some of the visual. Does she know it is the extent of a functional neurologist? No. Would I love one on my team? Yes. Because when things are just getting really kooky in the neurology world, it's cool to know where where that's stemming from and where to focus and where to stimulate the brain. More for complex cases, I like that. Is it great on every concussion team? I mean, another set of eyes is always great. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for some really good collaboration that way.
Love it. Love it.
Wow, that would be a great clinic, wouldn't it? I mean, it sounds like you've got like 75% of that.
And I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I love being a small business owner.
Just the $6.7 million, right? That's what we have to come up with. So we'll do that. I love it. I love it. Dr. Mattel, thank you. We're kind of hitting that time period right now, but man, I love talking to you, and I love the information that you're bringing. But what I really love is that you're always thinking in the, you're always looking up, right? You're always thinking in the future about what we can do next and what's next and what's next. Not meaning you're not present, because you're certainly present, but it's always about where we going next. And that's what leaders do, innovators do, and I'm just thrilled that I see you as one of these leaders, emerging right now. You've only been out for 5 years, but emerging into that point where you'll be on stages talking about, concussion, talking about, the neurology behind it and all the other things. So, and we will have you on our stage at the college, I'm telling you right now. And I'm thrilled. So awesome. We're winding down, and we always ask our guests on Life by Life West, two questions before we go. These are 30-second innate response answers. They could change if I asked you, if we asked you again in 5 minutes, you can have a different answer. So there's no right or wrong to it. So, Mary, go with the first one.
I'll go with the first one. Okay. So, with all of your vast knowledge and wisdom that you've gained, if you could go back now, okay, and you could give Dr. Mateo, well, Mateo, first quarter student at Life West on the very first day of class, you could stand in front of him. What would you say to him? What advice would you give him now?
Drink less coffee.
Really?
Oh, that
How
was
many cups a day were you drinking?
I'm not going to get into it, but most of my blood was coffee, and
Oh,
it
that's
wasn't
great.
necessary. It's
Wow.
great.
That's great. So that's how Starbucks grew over here, huh? I'm just teasing.
Wow. Oh yeah. They did really well.
Did you come in with that, with that habit, so to speak,
I
or did it form
enjoyed
you?
coffee, and then I felt like I needed it.
You probably did.
So, but it was just one of those things that I was such a wired for evening human, and I think I could have done better to rewire my schedule.
Nice, nice. Love it. Love it. Okay, second question. Good. Same. Dr. Mateo right now speaking to Dr. Mateo who just graduated. Stepping into first day of practice, so to speak. What would you tell him? What advice would you give him based on what you know now?
Shut up more. I wanted to just like fire hose everybody. And it's just like you're allowed to listen.
That's really good advice. That's my
Love
parenting advice, you know. It's always like
it.
talk less to your kids. Just listen.
Yeah. I mean, there's opportunities to give the little like nuggets, but it's like I don't need to talk at them for the entire time.
Yeah. One of my mentors in chiropractic was a man named Dr. Ian Grossom. And Dr. Grossom used to call that with new doctors the Melonious Tone Syndrome.
Oh, my.
They just love to hear themselves talk. So they would be in a room, just talk, 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 talk like this. And he'd be out going like, you know, that's not what they want. You know, they want the care, you know, kind of thing. But you know, it's what happens. You know, I love it. I love it. Well, thank you. Thanks, Dr. Mateo.
Can I just say one thing? I can't wait for your new book. And the reason why is because this is my first time talking to you. And you have a gift. And your gift is the way you deliver conversation, like the way you converse.
No,
it's so like, it's so smooth that it's like easily digestible. So your book about concussion is probably just you, like who you are talking about concussion. And I'm so excited for it because it's like, it just sounds like it's going to be so easily absorbable for people.
Ryan, my best. It's sometimes really hard to be like, how do you make this simpler? But I'm very excited. Thank you very much.
When's it coming out, first of all?
Oh, I mean, I'm hoping 2025, but baby's in the mix. So about Christmas-ish is baby. So TBD on what gets backburnered.
Yeah.
But my hope is before my child is birthed, I can just finish it.
Good.
Yes. That's my hope.
Good, 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 good. Will you please allow us to, you know, have us be able to have it at the college, right? We'll put it in the bookstore and put it on our online bookstore also. Love it. Love it. So, but you have to send an autographed copy to Dr. Mary, okay?
Okay, I will.
That's part of the deal.
A cute little journal with it so people can work through as a little workbook because that's what you need to.
Yeah,
great. I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Dr. Mateo. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your knowledge. Thanks for your love of chiropractic, obviously. And congratulations on your new family, growing a family. And please tell Dr. Sean that we send our love and just thrilled for you and all the things that are going on. And Mary, thank you for, you know, I love hosting with you. It's such a great thing. And I love you. You know that. And to our audience, thank you. Thanks for coming in week after week. You know, we drop these Life by Life West every other week. The opposite week, we have a Life West leadership line. You know, our audience continues to grow and we are thrilled about that because it means that we're making a difference in what we're doing. And that's the only reason we're here is to make a difference and to allow others to make a difference. And by that, what I mean by that is share this, you know, Dr. Mateo talked about concussions and talked about things that people just probably need to hear. We'll make sure that when his book comes out, that we're able to put it out on our line and you'll be able to see when it's out. And it will come through our newsletters and all the things that we send out. You can get it at the Life West bookstore, our online bookstore. But thank you. And once again, it's something that we do because we feel that as long as we can give to chiropractic, that we're giving to the world. And that's our mission, right? All of us coming together to create a brighter future for humanity. So until we come at you again with another Life by Life West, for Dr. Mateo, for Dr. Mary and myself, we'll bid you adieu. And just remember that all of us are much greater than we were ever led to believe. And keep sharing your story, communicating, and healing the world. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.